Welcome to Stop Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm an SWA Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talk cast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, at least most Thursday nights. And you can call our phone to dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com. And search for Call ID 17702 or SFU on call or Starfleet Universe on call, and you should be able to find us there. But if you want the best online experience, what you want to go to is twitch.tv/SFU on call, and you will join us there, see my wonderful face, and join the wonderful chat room and participate that way, which is always awesome. Obviously, I do monitor the chat room, so if you have a question for me, feel free to post it on the chat room. And I should be able to get to it. I will do my best. And of course, this love, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you're following me on Twitter. I got the sfuoncall Twitter account. Big surprise. My personal account is Paul France. I got there first. And also, my business account with Franz Games, FranzGames. Franz is spelled without a T, so just remember that. And of course, your lovely talkcast gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Quick news from A to B this week. Steve Petrick is back at work. He's been having some medical issues. We wish the best for him and hope for a quick recovery on anything that he's dealing with, and of course, the quick recovery for Steve Cole, who had that whole hip thing like a couple weeks ago now, and he's going through physical therapy, which is always fun. I mean, painful. But anyway, moving on forward to the founder on the online store for this week is Starship Aldo. Starship Aldo, your swashbuckling team of ex-military types are trying to make a living in the wreckage of the General War. Always on the lookout for a score enough for you to retire, you find some wreckage, which turns out to be the top four decks of some kind of freighter. You can see burned lettering on the side, but can only read the letters Aldo, A-L-D-O. So, is the cargo ship, this is the cargo ship Geraldo Rivera, the armed auxiliary warship Aquino Aldo, or luxury cruiser liner Waldorf Astoria, all which were lost in this area during the General War. This is a 16-page adventure of prime directive with weapons, characters for PD-20M and GURPS, plus thick plans for all the what's left of the Aldo. So that sounds like a nice adventure for those of you who like adventuring in sci-fi. Going on toward and forward, the SFB Online Tournament, the Sapphire Star Tournament, it started, the tree got posted last week, I think it was. We have already won game completed, which is Jude Hornberg, which I've not seen for a long, long time. Welcome back, Jude. And that was over Peter Bakia, which was Liren versus the Gorn. And another that is already started. So we have one completed, one started. And actually, I need to contact my opponent so that I can dispatch him, which is going to be difficult because I know the Fed versus my Salporian, which is going to be interesting. Because he has the G-Rack, so he has actual seeking weapon. I don't, unless you want to consider shuttle seeking weapons. But anyway, the actual tree will be posted on the website. I got to look because there's one person that dropped out and other things. I need to adjust ships and people and all that kind of thing to find out exactly what the tree actually is. I got to check out the discussion board. Moving on forward to the online client, there was a quick fix. I've not released yet, but error was reported immediately by, I think it was Seth. I fixed it, which was there was an issue with the show logs and show notes options in the menu weren't there. So I removed it from the tab, and now you can't get to it in the Federation Commander room. Moving on and forward, the library report for this week is that no news is well, I'm not sure it's good news, but at least it's nothing new when it comes to either the SFB or the Federation Commander library. So with that is the news for this week. It's me, SML Paul Fins, welcoming you to Star from the Universe On Call. And tonight, well, at the moment it's just me, but hopefully Doug will be joining us soon enough. Really? Sorry. I'm bringing up my wonderful Twitch monitor over here on my iPad, which I have set up for just that purpose. And unfortunately, it takes me a little time to get going. And I keep saying, "Hey, why don't you go to the App Store and update the app update?" It's like, "Oh, I'll update it when I get updated, maybe sometime in the next couple of months." Anyway, what we're going to start off with, and I'm hoping that Doug will show up because I really would like to discuss this with him.
You are.
Awesome. Good. Because the main topic for tonight, and we probably, this might, I might have to roll something else in. I'm not sure how long the discussion will go. As maybe some of you know, I'm not sure how many you actually follow the Sapphire Star tournaments. And the latest tournament, and I'm going to be in it. I look to find out, and I'm going to be playing. Darn it. Give me a
Let
sec.
me guess, Saltorin.
Yes, I'm going to be playing this out. I'm going to be flying this Saltorian, but I forget who I'm going to be playing against.
A Fed player?
Yeah.
I'm
Well.
just guessing.
Yes, a Fed player. And John Wrigley is playing the Fed. I'm the Saltorian. So I figured it would be a good idea. It would be discuss tactics that are possible because the interesting part about this one is going to be that the Fed has a drone rack, which is not going to be help them that much. But for the most part, the Fed and the Saltorian, neither one really have any seeking weapons to speak of. And of course, then we have the whole issue with the Fed having four photon torpedoes, and the Saltorian just had the PCs. Of course, I also have the shield crackers. Well, webbreaker slash shield crackers. But we'll get to that discussion in just a moment. One thing that I just wanted to mention, I mentioned this actually in the news portion, but I want to just mention it again, which is that seeing someone back in the tournament, which I have not seen for a long time, and it's great to see him back, which is Jude Hornburg. Jude Hornburg, actually, I remember him coming to the Origins convention and playing there. Geez, how long ago was that? Too long.
Depends on which one it was.
Yeah, I know.
Was it in Columbus?
It definitely was. It was in Columbus.
Because that's pretty much 96 to what, 2010-ish?
Yeah, I forget when we stopped going, but it was great,
It was just a few years after they stopped the old hat.
And he still played, online for a long time to come after that, and he went away for a while, but it's good to see him back. Also good to see that he beat Peter Bakia. So it tells me, actually, let me read that real quick. The very bottom that, okay, this was written up by Peter. Yeah. Said, Jude played well and got l unlucky when I needed to be lucky. So I got l unlucky when I needed to be lucky. Which is interesting, for me in that playing the Lirin versus the Gorn, and I wouldn't know how to play that, you know. But obviously he did. He played very well. Okay, I'm looking at turn five, turn six, real quick. Okay, Gorn finishes standard S and held an F. Other Torp is second turn arming. Gorn figures as long as Lirin doesn't stop, chasing it from behind will probably be advantageous. Lirin stops. And then does a moving 0-4-10. No, that's the split. Gorn just turns off and flies away to the other side of the map. So Lirin fires four disruptors and does six damage to Gorn, 11 hexes, but otherwise nothing happens. And turn 20, but Gorn considers the situation at this point and resigns. And there's also another commentary, which was Peter mentioned that he said, "I missed with both bolts on 1-4. On 1-4, I fired. If I'd hit with them, the Lirin would have had 15 to, sorry, 10 to 15 internals at that point, and I'd be doing okay. But with both bolts missing, I'm behind. My shields are pretty ragged, something like 13, 16, 15, 8, 24, and 6. If I try and go in on the Lirin is going to do a lot of damage through some weak shields, especially given that it all still has two armed ESGs. So I got to spend the rest of the game at a long range and try to bombard the Lirin until it runs out of weasels or something while avoiding getting mangled, which will take a long time, which I don't have for this upcoming week." Basically, he kind of gave up because of Peter was not at the where he needed to be. And he really didn't want to play out a very long game, which makes sense because I'm looking when he's telling me about the shields were 13, 16, 15, 18, 24, and 6. Like, okay, well, so he has no internals. And in theory, you could still fight that out really relatively easy. You still can come back. This is not, you're not lost the game. But he definitely said it was going to be uphill. It was going to be a long range game, and hopefully that he didn't make any mistakes, and Jude didn't take advantage of the mistakes and kill him. So,
Well, that's the whole idea.
yeah, understood. That's the one thing that always. Okay, maybe I'm just dumb, because that's a possibility here. But I had a tendency of playing things out a lot more compared to most people. Most people, they go, I'm too far behind. I can see it. Like, I don't see it, but okay, I'll take the win.
Yeah, well, there you go then.
So, anyhow, moving onward and forward, let's go on to the Klingon versus, sorry, the Torian versus the Fed. And I just want to bring it up on
So,
screen.
step one of your strategy, write your congratulatory email draft to the Fed and set it aside for future reference.
I understand that too. Well, it's not it's an uphill battle. Actually, this is not quite the one. Doesn't have they added the one G rack onto it, so there's a G rack on this Fed, but this basically gives you what the Fed's going to look like. Okay, let's make sure that you can see it properly there. And so, there. That gives it.
You're probably not going to like what my opinion on this one.
Go.
Well, if you end up fighting at range four or less and you haven't done any internals to him prior to that point, you are probably doomed.
That wouldn't surprise me. I'm gonna go with the thought, the not I wouldn't say tactic, but that's right. The one thing that the Fed that I remember reading from Bill Scheller's write-up of Origins when he was playing the Fed, which was what the Fed wants to do is he wants to get in close range. The only reason he wants to get in close range, especially you can get range two, is of course to hit. So, range one, up the range four, you got a decent chance. Range 2 would be perfect as 1-5 to hit. And because that is always the biggest issue, which is 5-8. You got a 50% shot of them hitting. Now, of course, here's the thing. If we get into range 8 and he jackpots 64 points of damage, and then, of course, the phase is in addition to that.
Sucking wind.
And yeah, at that point, that's
you're done.
That's easily 30 internals right there, you know. And I'm not sure what that point. I agree. I think I'm pretty much done at that point. But that's one. The question is, will he do it? Number two, if he does do it, will he roll above average? Average would be that he hits with 2. So that's 32 points of damage. So he'll get internals. And especially if he's in the 6-8 range, you know, possibly even 5. So 6-8 range, his phasers, you know, they'll do some more internals, but it won't be that awful because probably either give me 6 or 8. I would not want to actually center line them just because I don't want to give them all 8 phaser ones.
No, and just to not to try and give your opponent necessarily tips against you, but
right.
If he comes in, he makes a battle pass and he manages to clip range 8 and he does statistical hits. One of the big issues that you might be faced with is when he turns away to run and reload, is he might just start making battle passes with partially overloaded torpedoes at you.
Right.
Which, if he's catching the same shield again, is bad. But if he's catching different shields and you're not bricking them, that's bad too. The other side of it is if he gets a shield down on you and runs away and you decide you want to play long range fire at that point, he might arm proxies and get that shield at, you know, range 10, 12, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do more internals and just pick away at you. Remember there was that one, I think it was Rom Fed fight for the gold hat where the Fed won it and all he did was proxies and danced around the entire thing. Mid-2000s, I think. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, I have to look that up.
Yeah, I think that was a fascinating one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If it's using prox photons, which I've never seen done in a tournament play, I would love to read that article.
Yeah. But that's if I remember it correctly. I could be wrong, but I kind of seem to remember that being like they complained about it, ADB, because it was like literally one of the long. It was probably, I think they said it was the longest match they had to watch ever for the final, where there was no time limit.
Right, right.
There's like no time limit, and he's like, okay. We're gonna take full advantage of that.
Oh yeah. Oh, I totally understood. And see, that's the weird part about having online play. There is no time limit. Really, the only time limit is how many times you guys can get together to play. And there is deadlines for getting your game complete, but. If people can play, you know, for 6 hours.
You don't have that 3-hour get it done time frame you have at a convention.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. The one thing, obviously, for me to be concerned is have the Fed come in with the photons, hit with the photons, put down a shield, and then fly around as a phaser boat, you know, and recharging the photons. Possibly slowly to keep up the speed because these suckers, bang, man, they can suck energy like you wouldn't believe. Because to do a fully overloaded, it's four points of power. for each. That's it. If you want to fully overload them quickly in two turns, that's going to cost you 60 points of power for each turn. Out
You're
of
talking about the photons, right?
photons.
Yeah. That
And
that's why I was saying that you might see partial overloads. And one reason you might see it is not just the big power drain like that per turn, but because he can make a tactical decision by not overloading them at all on the first turn of arming while he's reloading phasers. And if you give him that down shield, he's going to pop you with phasers. But then when he's got his phasers fully loaded, if he doesn't use them during a turn, he could either fully overload them, partially overload them, or arm them as regulars, standards, or as proxies on the second turn of arming. He doesn't have to load four and four. I mean, he could even go two, two, and then one, and just play phaser boat trying to get that down shield at high speed for a while. Then if he wants to close in on you, that turn he overloads them. So.
Yeah, I had a crazy idea, and I don't think that'd be a good idea. Which is
What was the crazy idea? You
crazy
never
idea.
know.
Stop. Use wild weasels to shift until I have more power, and then maybe tack and turn away.
That's not necessarily a horrible thing if you wait, make him waste all his photons. If you get to do damage to him, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, the one thing would be the problem is timing. Timing it would be because of if I stop and he gets greedy. He's approaching at a decent speed, let's say 15. I launch my wild weasel, when he's about to enter, like when he enters like range four, and because he can knock it down, but like and he try he wants to do decides he's going to do an overrun, gets greedy, and does an overrun. If I can have it so that basically, when he's about to do an overrun, I do a mid-turn speed change to move one forward at the same time. Now that is so dependent on where he is when it comes to how
Yeah.
close he is
You
versus
are
the impulse
overthinking
chart.
this.
Versus the impulse chart. Oh, I understand that. See, that would be a cool thing to make work, but I know that that is really hard to make work because
But
it's because I'm giving all the advance all the
the way you might make that work would be if you basically use reserve power to shift into the next movement.
Which is what I was thinking of.
But on the other hand, you don't want to give up the initiative to them. You don't want to end up at low speed unless you have to. Star castling is frowned upon. Although, against that, if you star castled with it, there's two ships in the game that would make a good star castle against him. The ISC is the other one.
And the thing is, in theory, it's star castling, but at the same time, he's got the weapons to just go kadoonsh, hit hard compared to me, because I don't have nearly as much damage to potential. Because.
Yes and no. You have the potential if you can run it as a subtlety ship a little bit because you've got the shield crackers in addition to your particle cannons. And your particle cannons can shoot twice in a turn. So, as long as you're not wasting your phasers, you could use the particle cannons to tickle his shields at long range. If they're not reinforced, you turn away a bit, and then you come back in and get that second attack with them on it. And that's when you might use your shield crackers and your phasers to take the shield down. And then turn away.
Mm-hmm.
And just go reload phasers and recharge everything and go back at them. The thing is, he's got the crunch power for one impulse that could wipe, that could whack your ship if he jackpots. And if he gets the point blank like a Hydran wants to, he's going to blap you out of existence. On the other hand, if you play a distance game and he decides he's going to play the distance game with you because you're not letting him close to get that hit, then you have the advantage because you're going to be hitting him, you know, twice a turn at range. As long as you like hit them and turn away and kind of turn back and then turn away, and you just kite them. You know, the hard part of that kind of game between any ships in the tournament, though, is the fishbowl that you're in.
Right. Agreed. Oh, I agree there.
Yeah. And another advantage you have is if you do get down to the overrun, you could have a pair of suicide shuttles ready,
mm-hmm.
and launch them both on the same impulse.
Nope.
Because you've got the dual bays, right?
No, I don't.
Or not. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah.
This ship has one shuttle bay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's not.
Never mind. I was thinking.
LDR or the.
Yeah. You're right. So I'm wrong about that. But you could have a couple of them ready and launch them over sequence. Or you could have four wild weasels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do half a dozen internals to him and you get a lucky torp hit. You know, and you pop that weasel, he's got to burn it. That's damage he's not doing to you. If he has to burn a second one a couple impulses later. Or, you know, when that one's run out and you're able to launch a second one, that's less power he's able to put towards killing you.
Yep.
But it's also a temporary measure that runs out really fast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But the good thing about using wild weasels is that if he decides to, you know, remove them from play, that forces him to use energy on phasers that he's not going to be firing at me. That's a slight benefit, but they agree that. Well, careful. I'm afraid he's going to knock over my mic. What? Goofball. Oh, that's one thing that actually gave me hope, which is. This seems like it might be one of those possibilities, one of those times where I might actually be able to use both shots of the particle cannon in a single turn. Because
mm-hmm.
normally, you know, that's not the case. Because normally what happens is I'm playing against a seeking weapon ship, whether it's the Zinni, the Black Shark, the Wind, you know, the Wind Oxbox, the Klingon, the Gorn, any of the Romulans. It's like, okay, this is the only time you might not have that happen is for the LDR. You know, which again is one of those ships. The only thing you have something that will turn someone from over, you know, just barreling over you. Well, those ESGs, but they don't have anything that will distract them and use basically tactically have so then they stay away, you know, at longer range. In which case, you know, the Saltorian, I'm always worried about doing that, you know, keeping the phasers charged and so forth. But in the case of the Fed, I don't have to worry about that. Yeah, he's got one drone rack, which is like four drones max. I forget if he actually can swap out or not.
I forget
too. I have to double check with the marshal.
But it's something extra he can hurt you with.
Right. It is, but also there aren't that many, so I should be, you know, yeah. I'm gonna.
Well, throw that back up there.
What, the Fed?
Yeah, throw the Fed up there. It should say it right on the.
No. They added it later on. This before the 2012 printing. They added after the 2012 edition of the module T.
Okay.
So I'll,
well, don't you have the tournament book there? You can look at it.
Yeah, I got the tournament, but there was no new edition after 2012.
Okay.
It's just that.
I mean, you could look at the rule. Look at the rule itself.
Oh, okay. You mean when it comes to swapping out for.
Yeah. I don't think he's allowed to swap. He might be, but it's almost kind of pointless.
Right. Understood.
Because you'll be able to ID it because he's only got one.
Right.
And you have the command spaces or in the labs you need to pretty much ID whatever the drone is, so decide how much damage you have to do to it.
I think they... Okay. Where is it? Plasma, so electronic warfare, so... Drones, there it is, drones. There it is. Any drone using Empire can exchange two Type M's for one Type 4M.
Oh, there you go.
So he can if he wants to.
Yeah, but the flip side of that is, do the feds count as drone using? And yeah, I know it's pedantic, but even if he does... Right. Even if he does switch it out, it's, you know, one less drone, and it doesn't take that much more to kill it.
Right.
The problem for you is, you know, it's just, and for him, is you've got the lab spaces on your Celtoran, and he's only going to have one drone that you have to worry about at a time, probably.
Right. I've got.
Unless he launches early. And then launches the next turn, and he's allowed to have that many, which he should be up to a sensor rating.
Yeah.
You know, he could get a tiny wave of two drones out there. And if you don't kill him, he could actually have a wave of three or four drones, depending on timing, about when they're all launched,
mm-hmm.
over four turns.
And remember that the drones only last for three turns.
That's correct, but he launches late one turn.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, he could have one little bit of overlap.
Right, for a little bit.
And honestly, by then you should have all of his drones dead, anyways.
Agreed. But that's why I'm not too
worried. Or at least ID'd.
Yeah. I'm not too terribly concerned about one drone. You know. Yes, it'll use up some of my phasers, but that's about it. And
well, that's the rub.
Right.
I mean, if you end up doing a high-speed chase, high-speed runaround, every point is precious.
Agreed.
You got to keep your speed up to not get tractored by him.
Right.
You keep your speed up to not get within range that he could tractor you. And if he's at tractor range for you, there's a good chance you're going to eat for several photons. So, even if he doesn't get to tractor you.
True.
But on the other hand, there's always an other hand in this game because of the so many variables that you have in it. You know, it's like your balance is going to be how many phasers do you expend on him every turn, along with the PPD hits? You know, How judiciously do you use up all the stuff you're scraping the shields down with?
Right. But yeah.
Because it's basically kind of very much like a disruptor versus photon fight.
Yes, agreed. In which case, where the disruptor's ship has no seeking weapons. But yeah, I agree. The one benefit of the particle cannon is that if you don't use your weapons for that turn, and you will hold the same amount of energy, it costs you half the power. So if you had 3 points of energy in the particle cannon, it only costs you 1.5 to hold 3 points of energy.
Yeah, but you're pretty much, I would say that the odds are in this fight, that would make a difference if you were on an open map, maybe. But you're going to want to shoot him every turn, once or twice a turn, and just keep ripping his shields down.
Yeah.
And then trying to get that second, third pass on shields you've already hit.
Yeah.
Force him to brick. And if he has the brick, and then he's slowing down, and you can dance around him that much more. You know, if you take his brick out, he puts up a 10-point brick, you hit with everything, and you give him 1 point of damage, you're going to want to hit that shield again.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's going to be... Okay, so the question is, what is going to be his approach against me? My guess is that he's going to want to come directly in at me because he wants to get as close as possible, and there's nothing I can do to stop him from getting close. Short of
there is.
What's that?
You run like hell.
Yeah,
you keep running. You don't slow down. You don't go down below 20.
Right.
And if you have a choice between hurting him and speed, you pick speed.
Right. And the good thing about the Deltorians is that it's got 40 points of power.
Mm-hmm.
It's got 32 warp, 4 impulse, and 4 APRs. So that also means it has one other benefit that the Fed does not have, in that if it wants to, it can hit at speed 28. The Fed can.
Nice.
The fastest it can do is 26 in head. So there's that little advantage there. Yeah. I don't think I'll be doing that anytime soon.
Never know. But it's nice to have it as an option.
Right. Understood. And I got 6 transporters versus his 3. I was thinking about doing some hit and run raids. Because, as I said, I got twice as many transporters, therefore I have twice as many attacks I could possibly do on a hit and run raid. Which would be interesting. And if I want to, I can do 5 with 1 point of energy. Because that's one thing. It drives me just a little crazy, in that transporters are only 0.2 of a point of power. Not a third, not a quarter. 0.2. Yeah, this never at least. Before you, if you want to actually do it properly and maintaining the actual energy call, you know, and how much energy you have when you have things that have, like, you know, basically fifths and quarters and thirds and halves, this can drive you crazy. Because, mm-hmm. You know, a phaser 3 is half a point of energy. In the case of a Andromeda, it's a 2/3 moving ship, so you got thirds coming in there. Then you got fifths when it comes to transporters.
Yeah, he just likes to make you do math. That's all.
Yeah. Insane. If you want to
and you never thought all those fractions in school would ever come to anything.
True, true. That's actually, that's one thing I'm hoping to do, which is start a little cribbage kind of club with my Knights of Columbus. I'm hoping, I gotta check to see if they're open to it. Because I figured that'd be a good, especially some of these are kind of older individuals, which is, in my mind, it's good benefit for their brain because you're doing a lot of math. You're always constantly calculating. And therefore, it would help you
and thinking
to keep the brain moving and active, which is always a good thing. Cause I think that I'm not sure if they did a study when individuals actually would do crossword puzzles, something that stimulated the brain. And I think they were.
There have been studies about it, and it is recommended. So
yeah, but.
It helps with stroke prevention, cognitive decline.
Cognitive decline. I'm not sure it can avoid stroke.
I wouldn't say it avoid completely, but it's a stimulant.
Right, it's a stimulant. It could definitely help you. I would think it would help you recover from a stroke because, actively using your brain, especially those parts that might have been damaged. In that, and maybe rebuilding part of your brain.
And another part of it is helping to stimulate your brain to get all the different parts used and not have that build up where you have a blood vessel go poof.
Yeah.
There's different aspects to it. So.
Understood. Yeah. So. He's going to be coming directly at me, and that which means I have to keep my speed up. I have to use his power hungriness of his ship against him. And as you pointed out, if it's a difference between when it comes to charging weapons versus speed, speed goes first, charging weapons go second.
Well, for your thing, It's not that far off of running an LDR, if you think about it, except this boat has a lot more power when it comes to it. And if you end up in the knife fight, you definitely have a power advantage. So, and if you do get in close, or he gets in close to you, it's kind of okay. You want to shoot first, though, with those web breakers.
Right.
I mean, you get his stuff down and you cut out one of his torpedoes. I wouldn't say your goal, but your odds of winning will have gone significantly up.
Agreed. And that's one thing that actually is nice about the shield cracker / web breakers, which is the 2 points to arm and the 0 points to hold. So you don't have to put any energy towards holding them. The only particle cannons require holding energy. Okay, give me more than that. Yeah, this ship can use while we're in suicide cells normally. Yeah. It's always annoying. Can have up to 8 points of overload energy in the photons at the start of the game. You can have 4 partials or 2 overloads and 2 standards. To start the game. I think that's not fair at all. But that's me. Actually, in theory, isn't weapon status 3? Can't the in theory, I mean, for normal play, can't a Fed, if it's weapon status 3, have their photons fully overloaded?
Yeah.
Plus, the base, which makes sense for this ship, because otherwise we're gonna have his first turn. He's just gonna come barreling in, and
he could barrel in on you with fully overloaded photons, and basically not be paying to overload them, just the holding cost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, weapon status 3, Congrats.
Okay, so it would cost 2233. Yeah, 2233. So it's 10 points of energy to fully overload two of the photons and hold two of the overload photons. Right. Because one point of for holding the standard and 2 points of energy to, and this has to be warp too. Has to be warp.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, no, Paul, he doesn't have to do that.
Well,
he can come in holding them.
Right.
Fully overloaded.
No, he can't.
He doesn't have to pay for them to fully overload.
Yes,
them.
He does. In the tournament, it says here, can have up to 8 points of overloaded energy in the photons at the start of the game.
Okay, well, that's an exception then for the tournament.
Right.
So, sorry, I forgot. I'm old.
That's fine.
I call the old man card on that one.
Actually, no. Yeah, so you'd actually have to put five for each. To have for to go standard, held standard to be fully overloaded. It'd be 5 points per. So that'd be 14 points of energy. So that probably won't be happening. Because otherwise, he's going to go real slow. If he goes real slow, we'll know why. Because I know, I've seen that before when it comes to feds, which is they'll start slow because they'll spend the first turn just fully overloading the photons. At that point, then they just run around like a seeking nuclear space mine, waiting to blow you up.
So, what do you... Did you mute your mic?
No, I did not. Okay.
I do not hear you.
Okay, give me a second. Let's go check here. Whoa, I'm really low. I'm really low. Break. Give me a sec. Let me look at this. Does somebody do something goofy? No, that's fine. The mic seems to be fine. Okay, but my mic is pretty low there. Can you let me bring a loop back and see what that looks like? Oh, please don't tell me. Oh, this is not the time to be doing this.
I don't hear you at all.
No kidding.
According to Discord, you're talking occasionally with the little green ring around you. And so am I. But I'm not getting any sound.
Okay. Green sack. Hello. Okay, can you hear me? Yeah, that's okay. It should be a microphone. That's good. Why is it so low? Why is it so low? Testing, 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 testing. Hello, 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 okay, let me just check Discord for a moment, hello, oh crap, Discord says, wait, missing audio device, oh fun, that's on. Yeah, no, no sound. Oh, now Discord says, "Oh, I need six updates." Did I ask you for six updates? No, I did not. And let's bring up OBS just for a moment to make sure. Show. Testing, testing, testing. Okay, at least I'm recording there. Okay, that's going fine. But currently it's just that he can't hear me, and hopefully I can solve that. Testing, testing. Can you hear me now? Voice. Pass through, looks good. Test, test, test. Test, test, test. Test. That seems to be going fine. Okay. Do-do-do. And okay. I'm here. I can hear you. But and according to Discord, it's getting my sound now. The little ring is lighting up, and I'm not hearing anything from Doug. And of course, really, guys? Okay, let's do this. No, forget this. Testing, testing. Okay, I can hear myself fine. Turn off the test, test, test. Okay, I can. That looks okay. It still looks low as heck. Oh man. Hello? I hear. Yeah. Da-da-da. Oh. Hello? You hear me? Okay. Record and okay, click. Okay, because I can hear you. I heard.
Oh, yep, you're back.
Okay. Okay.
Yep, user error. Oh my God, I'm so fucking stupid. Sorry.
Okay.
I was holding the little the mute button thing, and it's got a sound on the side, and I pushed it all the way down all the way down to zero. Oops.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah, that was a user error, and yeah, I am an idiot sometimes. I
Okay.
admit it,
Okay. Well,
and the world will agree.
I'm
Yeah, I know
glad.
you're not arguing. Moving on, back to your fight thing.
Why would I argue with such brilliance?
Exactly. Don't argue with me when I'm right.
Exactly,
I have a
exactly.
sweetie and two kids. Even if I'm saying yes, I'm an idiot. I have this solace of knowing I'm right and feeling good about it. Yeah.
Very true, very true. Okay, so if he comes in slow, that means he's charging photons. The question is, at that point, yeah, that'd be
Or he's bricking.
that's true.
And both. You know, here's a different way of thinking about it.
Okay.
Look at it from his perspective. What does he think you're going to do?
Yeah.
Does he think that you're going to get close and have a big knife fight because you're a huge porcupine? I mean, technically, you might hold your own on him in that short range fight because you've got the web breakers.
Right.
And while they're pointless after the shields are gone, they're pretty darn good for put it up once. They're pretty darn good for hitting that shield and taking it down. That's what they're literally built for that.
Yep. 3 to 5 is 1 to 4 hit, 4 points of damage. 1 to 2, 4 points. That means I can knock down, if I hit with all three, I can knock off 12 points of shield.
And then you combine that with your regular attack. And
Especially
that's
with
almost like hitting them with overloaded photons. Assuming that they all hit.
weapon.
That you jackpot.
Yeah, agreed, agreed.
You know, he could be looking at that. But the other side of it is you could also use them. How aren't they kind of cheap too?
The shield crackers?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 points of energy to charge one. And zero holding cost.
And do you start it with them
Charged.
all charged? Yeah. So that's your feeler right there to see if he's got a brick up.
True, true. Because they also they fire at the shield raising and lowering phase. So it's before fire decision.
So there you go. Yeah. You know, you blink away at range dozen plus and see if he says, hold on a second, he uses batteries or not, or you do a point of damage, couple points of damage to him, and it's like, oh, well, there you go. That's where you're gonna give him all your particle cannons and turn away and come back for him again.
Yeah, that was one thing that always to me is catch 22, basically. And that is, okay, if you use the shield crackers as a mechanism to see where the reinforcement is, but if you fire, let's say you fire all three of them, and basically hit the reinforcement, at that point, basically you've gotten rid of the reinforcement, so you probably gonna fire at him anyway, because you
It
knocked
depends.
down the brick.
Well, no, it depends. If he has a 10-point brick up and you do 8 points of damage, he's got a couple more points plus batteries that can wear down your next attack. But you just catch the next shield, then he's going to have to use batteries. So, and I didn't mean fire all of them.
Right.
You
Oh, I know.
know,
Oh, I understood.
you
Understood.
fire you fire one and it hits and he says, oh nope, it bounced, then you know there's a brick there and
No,
you can try to maneuver for another shield.
see, that's the
If he says,
gotcha.
hold on a moment, I have to think about this, and he uses battery, then you know he's going to be using batteries or not. Because the battery thing he has to stop play to do.
Right.
If you're playing it through the client, right? Am I right on that? He has
Actually,
to have a decision point.
in either case, because what would happen is in either case, what you would do is you'd say apply damage, and then you would apply the amount of points to the shield, and then you would then say, okay, how much reinforcement did you use at that point? So basically the mechanism is the same, so you can't quite tell if they're using battery power or not.
Okay, but on the other side of that, you don't know. Mm-hmm. And hey, if you do hit with all three, and he uses batteries to block it, you're still going to do some damage.
Yeah, true.
And then you'll know that that's at least his not bricked anymore. Depends. Mm-hmm. But if you do 6 points of damage and he says, yeah, you did nothing, then you know you have a good chance. He might have 4 more points or more, and he might have batteries still. So that could be a point where you want to look for another shield.
Agreed.
Damn. So I think your biggest decision is going to be, what kind of plan do you want to have? Do you want to get in kind of close and try to slug it out a little bit and risk the range 8 jackpot from him when you have a potential for jackpotting as well? Or do you want to make a bunch of passes at it and just grind down a shield or two?
Mm-hmm.
If you can grind down shields on him without him blowing you down and getting half your ship destroyed, then you're going to be in a good position for Mitzi-ing him later.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be a game of die rolls. That's what it seems like it's going to be. Because I'm looking at this, I'm looking at the Phaser 1's arcs versus his Phaser 1 arcs versus our heavy weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much, for the most part, we're even. That is, he's got 4 heavy weapons, and if you include my shield crackers along with the particle cannons, that's approximately equivalent to photons, a little less, so I understand. But consider those the heavy weapons. And then you have the phasers. He's got 2 phaser, front half phasers, 2 left front, left phaser, so that's going to be 4. I just realized that on the side, if we're going shield, you know, shield 6 or 5, like 5, you know, past this arc, past here, which is the midpoint, where the front half no longer applies. Then he only has 4 phasers, while I have 6. Because for me, I also have 4, which is, see, I got these 2 and these 2. So I've got 4. And the FA arc on this side or that side, he's got 6. And I have 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Directly center-lined, he's got 8, and I've got 8. The only thing I've got more of is Phaser 3s. I got 2 more Phaser 3s than he has. But his Phaser 3s are 360. He's got 2 360 down here. Which means, in theory, I've got an extra point of Phaser capacitance than he does. So that could be a benefit there. Small. So I got a small power advantage overall, because the one thing is, when it comes to damage, my damage is more closely equivalent to a disruptor than it is to a photon, which means I need to hit twice as many times versus his 1 photon.
Mm-hmm. And the problem for him is that if he misses with his 1 photon and you hit half the time, you're ahead.
Right. And of course, I can fire, if I want to, I can fire two standards per turn. I guess that's one thing I definitely have to look up, which is the rules when it comes to multiple shots. If I recall correctly, you can fire two shots, but if one of those overload, it must be the first shot fired. And the second one then can be a standard. So, yeah, overall, I think it looks like it's going to be a die roll contest. Who rolls better?
Well, and you could like shift that in your favor just by getting the better position and having lots more die rolls.
Right. Agreed.
Now, his problem is that four of his die rolls, he only gets every two turns. If he misses with them, it's critically annoying for him. And, you know, happy time for you.
Agreed. Which means, and the thing is, by the sounds of it, his strategy and my strategy might be the same in that when it comes to speed versus weapons, he's probably going to have to choose speed over weapons. Which possibly could mean that if I can keep close to him, keep my speed up, and still have some weapons available to fire at him at a decent range, within range 8, I might be able to keep him from overloading his photons, at least quickly, at the very least.
I don't think you're going to stop him from doing that.
No. I don't think I can stop him from overloading, but if I force him to go faster, to go fast, I can force him to use up his energy with his
chasing you.
You know, keeping a good distance from me instead of charging those photons.
Well, he's not going to be trying to keep distance from you, probably. He'll be trying to close on you. And that's where you come into a different thing. His thing's going to be getting to the center so he can get you against the wall. Your thing is going to be avoiding the center, but also avoiding getting pinned against the wall by him. Your part's a bit trickier because you're going to want to actually point your ship in his general direction to shoot him. But if he gets in the middle and he's chasing you outward or around the map in an intercept course, he's almost always going to have his weapons pointed directly at you. Which is why you get a couple passes and grind down a shield, you can play phaser boat after that for a while.
Right.
And just slowly grind him down at range 9, 10. Don't let him get into jackpot range. But the problem with the fishbowl is that eventually he will get close to you.
Right.
And when that happens, you need to have his shield either cut, his bearing shield cut way down or gone. And maybe some internals to him. So
The way I see it, I think what's going to define this battle is the first battle pass.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a matter of position after that.
Correct.
And also jackpotting or not.
Bingo. That's what I'm thinking of, which is, it's going to be critical on whether he hits, how many photons he hits with. If he hits with none,
but
I'm up.
If he hits with four, I'm down. You're way happy and ahead.
Yeah.
The only problem you have after that is that he could, if he doesn't lose all of them or half of them, is he can like reload them and take another shot at you later.
Oh, agreed. About that, but
I've heard You got to get the damage going on them.
Oh, agree. But most, I might be able to get internals, a few internals on the first battle pass. I can't imagine the first battle pass getting a huge number of internals.
I wouldn't be surprised if you get zero.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't surprise me either. The key thing for me is surviving the first battle pass. This is the way I see it. Surviving the first battle pass, hopefully he doesn't jackpot, because jackpots are screwed. If he doesn't jackpot, then deal with the damage and play the chase game, hopefully.
Well, now here's the thing. If he doesn't jackpot and you basically rip a shield mostly down, but he's expended his photons, that's when you want to get close for the knife fight. That's when your shield crackers come into severe good play for you, because you could end up, you know, impulse 32, really close range on an up shield, and fire whatever remaining phasers you have and the shield crackers, and start the next turn with the down shield for him. Especially if he turns away after missing. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's that, and you know, there's just so many variables.
That's a battle.
But when you get really close with those shield crackers, their damage goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Put that back up again. Let me see that chart.
Here's the shield crackers. This is the web breaker table. This is shield crackers. Always four.
Oh, always four?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
This, the wheel breaker, that can do some damage against the web.
Okay. Okay. I was thinking of the wrong thing there.
Right.
And part but of then it, again, I don't have the SSD in front of me.
Right. Oops, I'm sorry. I screwed up here.
That's why I was saying put it back up so I could see it.
Yeah, I've got my lovely face. Yeah, but
okay.
Yeah. See, the shield cracker has the same thing. This is the web breaker.
Boy, if only it did the web breaker damage.
you'd need be a all particle kinds cannons of then. Jeez.
Yeah. But let's see. Yeah, but still, you know what? 4 points, 50-50 shot at range 10.
Yep.
You need to clip that range 10 a few times. Just sandpaper his shields down.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then over here is 9 to 15, the 50% chance of hitting, which is worse than the prox photons. Because the prox photons are 1 to 4 to hit.
1 to 4s.
Yeah, but
yeah, at that range. But he's probably not going to have proxes.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, standard.
If he does, then, and he's not prepared for the long term, then yeah, you could just run his ass down.
Right. Agreed. Because if he ever fires a prox photon at me, I'm going to go, okay, that's interesting. Because if he actually is willing to use prox photons, then there's the possibility that, because since you have to select it when you're loading it, I could then come in like that. Actually, it'd be playing. I'd have to gamble whether he's actually going to do, after he does it once, is he going to do it again? Don't know.
Well, there's the deception factor now, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
But you know what? That range 10, you know, 9 to 10 bracket, that's where you need to dance in and out of. And preferably 10.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 9 is the 9 is the bracket for phasers.
Right. 9 to 15.
Oh. And your particle cannons are the same at 8 as they are as 9. The only difference being you can't overload at 9.
So I think
you catch range 10. If you can clip range 10 without him getting, you know, not giving him range 9, because that might let him like side slip or speed change his way into range 8. You get to range 10, you use sandpaper a shield down and run away.
Agreed.
Yeah, and you keep it so he has to keep that shield at you.
Yeah. It's gonna be a maneuver based battle.
Yeah, very much so. His maneuver is going to be front towards enemy, probably. I mean, he could be listening to this and then say, you know, I just might do the prox battle thing and brick some shields and just go to town with that slight mathematical edge on proxes. You never know.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah, and he could also come in, because I think once you make them proxies, don't they have to stay that way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you'd have to discharge them,
mm-hmm.
start reloading them, or pop them at range and start reloading them.
Yep.
Which in itself is not necessarily a horrible thing if he fires all four of them.
Oh, agreed.
And goes 2-point standard, and then he goes to partial overloads to keep his speed up.
Mm-hmm.
The real key here for you, I think, for the first probably 3 turns is just try to hit the same shield twice at range 10 and avoid letting him get a range 8 or better shot on you. You got a Kazin attack.
Yeah.
You're Zinni, baby.
Yeah, there he goes.
You're fat little Zin.
No, he's not. You want a fat one? We've got one, Thaka.
Oh, is that the other one?
That's the other one.
Big
black.
Okay.
Heavy, heavy cat. You don't want him sitting on you.
Gotcha.
You have hard times breathing. You know. if he's sitting on your chest, so.
Nice.
Yes, but is it Zooks? Can you stop sharpening your claws on my chair?
No.
Anyway. No, yeah, of course. For you, it's no. Anyway, I think we'll wrap it up there. Well, hopefully I will do good and he will roll poorly.
Or not at all, if you do well enough.
True. True.
If you can get 4 turns on the same shield without him getting a jackpot roll attempt at you,
yeah,
that I think would clinch it for you.
Oh, agreed. The thing is that hard thing is going to be keeping at range.
Yeah,
that's the thing. I don't think that is really possible. Unless,
I think it's possible. It's always possible for a few turns.
Right. I think I can keep him at range if I can force him to either use his power to charge his weapons, which means he'll keep slower. As I said, the other possibility is have him keep up his speed, but he can't charge his weapons. Or number of weapons he could charge.
Well, if he's not expending his phasers at you until he has an alpha attack, he's got the luxury with his power curve and ability to his speed. He's got the ability to do his final overload turn.
Right.
So you really aren't going to stop him on that. Yeah, you know, The only thing might be that he slows down. He doesn't go high speed on turn 1 because he's overloading his final turn. He takes the center of the map to try to get it so he's in a position to pin you. He pays for his hold cost and maybe a little bit of brick. Goes after you and does a speed turn change way up and then way down to try to get a burst of speed in on you when you're against the wall or near the wall.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably what you're going to be looking at. The other possibility could be that he comes in with partial overloads held, high speed, a little bit of a brick, and he just runs right at you. Maybe he puts his number six or his number two to you as best he can, and he tries to pin you up against the wall. So on impulse one of the next turn, you know, he can do an impulse 32 phaser hit and fully overload everything else for impulse one. That's the other possibility I think you're probably looking at. With a third possibility being that he decides to go for, he thinks you're going to try to avoid close range fight, and he just says, okay, to heck with it. And he bricks a shield, or maybe even two shields partially, 5 points each. And he just plays the prox game with you for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And the danger of the prox game for you is if you get into a multi-long range fight like that, he has a slight mathematical advantage on you. But he also has the possibility of, if he's not firing his phasers with it, maintaining his power curve to where he could actually pop into point blank range on a recharge turn and nail you on the next turn afterwards. So I think those are your possibilities. Those are your three main things you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you star castles. In which case, you know, enjoy.
Yeah.
Just battle pass his ass.
Yeah, I can't imagine actually doing that.
No, no.
Yeah, Star Casting might advantage me a lot more than it would advantage him. At least the way
pretty much, yeah. Yeah, yeah, because it would let you totally avoid the overload range.
Right, exactly.
So, plug. Gamers of Summer, I'm sorry. Gamers of Summer is in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, just a few weeks down the road here.
Right.
It's the end of the month, 31 August, and then the 1st and 2nd.
Right.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Labor Day weekend.
Whee!
Labor Day.
Okay.
So, and pre-registration is open until next Tuesday night, the 19th. Which I believe is next Tuesday. Off the top of my head. That's what I said on Facebook. But it's also listed as the 19th on the flyer. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, anybody who wants to come out, we will be there. Yay.
Hey.
I'll be there. Mm-hmm. I plan on being there.
I hope so. You're running it.
Yep. 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 As long as I'm not in the hospital, I'll be there.
Please don't be in the hospital again.
I don't know. No.
It might be fun for
you. The time they took my gallbladder out, the event went on without me.
I know.
And that was like one of the most painful, annoying weeks in a hospital I've ever had in my life.
Understood.
Because, because I had to go in just before the event.
Right.
Ended up spending the whole weekend in there while they were trying to figure, they couldn't figure it out on day one or two what the problem was. And then they eventually figured it out over the course of the weekend. And then it's like, you know, and it was like one of those routine things that they could schedule a guy to do the next day because it's so routine. But because of the holiday weekend, they couldn't get around to it till like the following Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I was out of there a couple days after that. But, oh, my goodness. So.
Oh, understood. I remember stopping by and seeing you. And the one thing that was scaring the crap out of me, that was starting to snow.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had to drive in the snow that weekend. And that was the weekend that our friend Mike Hudak passed away. It's like I was in the hospital when I found that out. And then another year later, I'm in the hospital in September of last year for the hip. In and it was like right after the surgery when I got the call that Mike had had his stroke. That happened while I was in the hospital, and I couldn't travel to go see him. So there's that. Still need to travel down there to see his grave.
Understood. Understood.
So, but anyway, on that note, hopefully nobody will be in the hospital,
Amen.
part of our extended gaming family, and that wants to be there. So,
Yeah. Yay.
yay!
Okay. Well, you have a good night.
Come out and celebrate the fact that we're all still alive and
Amen.
play some games. Damn it.
Okay.
And you can still register for your badge online, which is more convenient for us because it lets us have badges ready because we know who's going to be there. Because that's more of an actual commitment than, somebody saying maybe on Facebook,
Right. Understood.
usually. So that's pretty much all I got, Paul.
Okay. Okay. Well, you have a good night.
Thank you.
So, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. This is going to be an interesting game. And as I said, I think what's going to really determine everything, they're all going to be based on the first battle pass and how that works. I think that is by definition, when it comes to the Fed, that defines the Fed. That if the Fed can come in, it can have its first battle pass with you, the one where it's going to fire its photons, and it can hit you with four photons, you're in deep, 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 deep trouble. You might be, there's certain chips that can kind of pull it off, like the Zinni can pull it off. But it's still not an easy thing. The only reason the Zinni can possibly pull it off is because of the number of internal boxes it's got on the sucker. And that's it. So, and I don't have the number of internals. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.